John chapter 1, please. And I'm going to read just a couple of well-known verses, make a couple of brief comments, and then we're going to move on to a few other passages. John chapter 1 and verse 1, well-known to everyone here, I'm sure. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Now that's all we're going to read just for a moment. We'll make a few brief comments on these verses. I enjoyed the ministry this morning, and I'm sure you did too. I'm sure there's not a Christian in here that would not want to say from their heart, I love the Lord. Maybe there's someone that was touched by that ministry and they sort of said, oh, I wish I had a little more love. Maybe someone listened to our second speaker and, you know, when it comes to vices in our lives, things that we find ourselves trapped in, sometimes we bow our heads and we confess our sin and we say, I don't want to do that again. God, give me help. Comes to our third speaker, and you know, we're thinking about conviction. And I'm sure you've all been there. I can stand up in a platform, I can open my mouth in a Bible study, and man, I can make it sound like nothing will knock me over. You go to work, someone says something, and it's just like the conviction took wings and flew away. How does a person remedy all that? Sometimes we put the cart before the horse. Sometimes we, in a fleshly, I'm going to determine not to do that again. I'll guarantee you that won't work. I'll tell you what's on my mind. You want to love the Lord more? You want to live for Him more? You just get occupied with His Son, Christ. There's nothing like thinking, reading, meditating upon Christ. Just Him. I don't mean what's your normal daily reading. I mean, how many of us would have to put our hands up and say, well, we do that because of conscience. I mean, I have to read this morning. That is what a Christian does. I have to pray. That's what they do. How many times have you gotten up with a desire? I can't wait to see what God has for me. I know He's going to speak to me today. Now that's not always there. Don't get me wrong. I'm from PEI. We're not all super holy up in the clouds. I have days just like you. We're all the same. Same heart, same flesh. But you know what I do? It's something my father drilled into me when I was newly saved. He said, Scott, you take time to get to know God. I'm saying this for those that are younger. I'm 40. I'm midway. I know people kind of sound that funny. I do feel myself getting older. And we've already heard it. There's so much time behind. And if I could redo those 16 years since I got saved when I was 24, I tell you this, I'd read this book more. I'd put my mind to memorize more than what I ever did memorize. But you know, that takes time. Everything pulls at us. Now here's what I'm trying to get you to see. Have you ever gone through the Bible and contemplated pictures, portraits that God gives us of His Son? I saw Murray in the home that we're in. Last night we sat down at the couch and he pulled out the photo album. You ever done that in someone's home? And it's interesting. You're flipping through the book. And they've captured all these moments in their life. Some people will take them out of the photo album and they'll put them up on the wall. Very special events. And they just bring back tremendous memories. They cherish them. Well, listen, dear child of God, I'm here to tell you, the Father has tremendous photographs of His Son in this book. You know what He wants you to do? He wants you just to sit down. Come apart from a busy world. Go for a walk in the back field. I got fields where I... Yeah, you got fields here too. Get out of the city, as they say. Shut out the world. Turn off MSN. Disconnect from the big internet. You're not going to die. We'll all survive. I know Murray on the plane. He's up on the plane, but the email going, and we're in an airport. Is it wireless? You'd think the world would stop spinning if he got a headache. It won't. It'll keep right on going. But you know what God wants? God delights when he looks down from heaven and he sees one of his own. Ah, is that what Christ is about? Isn't that wonderful? Photographs. How many times have you taken a photograph and you, I do that. I love looking at photographs. And I'll often try to picture, I wonder what was happening when that photograph took place. I wonder what was going through their mind. And I try to turn it and I try to see what's behind the person. Well, listen, in a world that we live in where they can bring out books and movies, the Da Vinci Code, and they can take our blessed Lord and they can try to strip him down to just being a man. Here's a photograph, John 1, that as many times as we read it, never overlook the tremendous truth that's in it. In the beginning, God. It's tremendous. I'm going to just think of four simple statements. And in these statements, you've got four was's and two with's. All right? Now, because we're human in nature, the Spirit of God has to use terminology to take us to certain points. In the beginning, I want you just to sort of try to visualize this. I want you to think of time as being in a house. I got the front door and I got the back door. That's my life. That's time. That's all of time. I'm just in one room. Now, I don't like saying eternity is like a circle, but just for this, bear with me. I want you to think of the house as being surrounded by a massive circle. I want you to walk with me to the front door. The beginning of time. Genesis chapter 1. And as you stand on the doorstep, you've got what you know is time behind you. That's what we're in. Just take a look out into the vast eternity of God. Do you know who you see? The Father and the Son and the Spirit. What a photograph. This is our Savior. Listen to the words. In the beginning was the Word. Think, get a picture of the Lord Jesus in your head. As far back as the eye and the mind can grapple with. Your mind almost gets lost in it. In the beginning was. Christ was. Christ is. He knows no beginning. You know, there's one word I think of. Pre-existence. The Son, the Father. Everything that, and even that sounds kind of foolish because everything that God is, even right there, I'm almost sound like I define God. God's undefinable. You know how we are as humans? We like to put everything in little boxes. Alright, I understand that. Well, dear child of God, you can't take God and put him in a box. You can't take your intellect and all of a sudden go, okay, this and this is what God is. If he was, he wouldn't be God. No, friend, listen. When we think about the Lord Jesus, we're looking at everything that God is. Everything. Think of the second statement. And the Word was with God. I think of one word, fellowship. You know that little word with? Those that want to go a little deeper, you go home, you get out your little study word. You're going to find that word with has two ideas. It has the idea of facing and motion. Go back as far as the mind can go. Do you know what the Word of God pictures me? The Father and the Son. Total fellowship. Moving. I think that's tremendous. Here's another one. The third one. And the Word was God. One word. Oneness. Here's a little bit of a thing I want you to try to understand. Sometimes we try to understand the Trinity. Three in one, one in three. Okay, how can that be? Sorry, as far as I can go, I can't define it. It's beyond me. Simply beyond me. But I'll tell you something that it's not. You know, today we have, for those that are technologically up in things, you have really fast computers, eh? And they say, alright, this computer can multitask, multi-thread. You can have all these applications open, and this massive CPU can multitask. It can devote 100% of its time to this, and then this, and then this, and this. Don't ever think that God, the Godhead, is like that. The Father doing His things, the Son doing His things, and the Spirit doing His things. Don't ever think that God is jumping from Spirit, Son, Father real fast. No. I want you to think of one split second in time. The Father has functions that the Son doesn't do. They're unique to the Father. The Son, likewise. The Spirit, likewise. In that split second, fully God. Fully God. Fully God. All one. Now that just causes our mind to go, how can you have one going? See, the Godhead is beyond me. But I'll tell you this, when I look at the Lord Jesus, my Savior, total equality, total oneness, total pre-existence with God. Here's the final one. And the same was in the beginning with God. I love that word, the same. Equality. Sometimes we think of Christ in His humanity. I'm going to move to a few in a minute. This is the reason why I started this photograph. We might look at Christ in His humanity, and somehow the mind sort of says that there must be some sort of a less of being God. Absolutely not. It doesn't matter to me whether you see the infant child cradled in the arms of Mary, whether you view Him in that little despised town of Nazareth working with His hands as a carpenter. It matters not to me whether you view Him in the hours of darkness on the cross. Don't ever let the world, the devil, the flesh, your mind tell you that He's somehow less God. Total. Complete. God in all His fullness. I love the words of Colossians, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It's tremendous. I've been enjoying the last number of weeks the expression of Colossians 1 and 15. Who is the image of the invisible God? Now you ask yourself, how can you have an image of something that's invisible? Well, see, because we're just thinking physical likeness. Think of moral likeness. I know I don't even like that word likeness because it's more than likeness. Image. Don't get the thought that when I go and look in the mirror and I look and I see an image. That's not what that word means. Because listen, I can look at that mirror as long as I want, but that image will never talk to me. If it does, I'm running out of the room. But listen, when you look at Christ, wherever you see Him, who is the image of the invisible God? How do any of the angelic hosts know anything of God? They see it in the Son. How will this world know anything? How did they? They see it in the Son, who is the image. Now we must move on. Let's move to Psalm 22 for another photograph. Psalm 22 in the Old Testament and verse number 8. And the reason I started with John is because we need to keep that in our mind when we look at this one. Psalm 22, and look at verse number 8. He trusted on the Lord that He would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in Him. But thou art He. Listen to this now. But thou art He that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God. From my mother's belly. I remember my two girls were born. I can remember holding on to my girls one at a time, of course. I remember looking at that little infant. It looked to me like there was nothing going through her mind. I tried to imagine, what is she thinking? I want to tell you something that's so unique about Christ in his humanity. He was conscious of his God right from his mother's belly. That's what the Word of God tells me. Now, let's go further. Even as the Virgin Mary nourished that child, did you get what it said? Thou didst make me hope. You know what the word hope means? Thou encouraged my confidence in you. Can you get that? What a photograph. You know why that is? Of course, God manifested in the flesh. But I'll tell you something else. It's the first time an earthly mother held a sinless infant in her arms. And as that child came into the world, unaffected by sin, conscious of God, totally, there was no fogginess, no haziness. Mary might have, and we read it many a time through the Gospels, she pondered all these things. She kept them in her heart. She guarded them, trying to put the pieces together. I look at a photograph of a woman holding a child. My, I can't even begin to explain to you the communion between that little infant and his God in heaven. That's just tremendous. I leave that with you. Let's go to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 I love this one. This is probably one of my favorites. Luke chapter 2 and look at verse number 46. There's only one complaint I have about Mr. Newberry. I wish he would have made the letters a little bigger. I find it awful hard to read the numbers. Luke chapter 2 and verse number 46. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple sitting in the midst of the doctors. I want you to get this now. Both hearing, that involves time, and asking them questions, plural, lots of questions. And all that heard him were astonished, that once again is time, at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. 12-year-old boy. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt thus with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wish ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not that saying which he spake unto them. I want you to picture Herod's temple. Ceilings were about 150 feet high. Massive pillars. You can hear the sound of animals in the distance. You can smell the oil from the burning lamps. You know what's in this photograph? It's a 12-year-old boy in the midst. And there's all these aged men surrounding him. You know what? They've got this look on their face of total astonishment. Amazement. Never before had men of the law interrogated a sinless 12-year-old boy, mind. Never. You try to relate to that. You just can't. Sometimes people try to understand. I know I did for years. I struggled with it. Like, was this a 12-year-old boy with a 30, 40-year-old man's mind trapped inside of a 12-year-old body? Absolutely not. When Christ laid aside the outward expression of glory and came into this world and picked up humanity, you know what he did? He willingly placed himself under all the laws that govern humanity. sin of hurt. So at 12, he was a 12-year-old boy. But you know what? This world has never seen a sinless 12-year-old boy before. I want you to think of a 12-year-old boy unaffected by sin in the mind, the emotions, the physical body growth. They were looking at total perfection before them. Now, for those that might not know what's happening here, the Jewish people call it the Bar Mitzvah. And you know that that is when a 12-year-old boy kind of becomes into manhood. And what they do over there is they take Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the Pentateuch, and they quote that from memory. Now, in a Jewish life, there was three different occasions. And this is where the rabbis and the teachers would look for teachers. And if they noticed a tremendous intelligence, you know what they would do? They would then start to segregate that training. And then that would go to another level. And then there would be further testing. And then they would segregate that into more religious training. And at the end of that training would be rabbis, teachers. You know what? When that Christ child stood up and he started to quote the law, he was quoting his own words. I think that's tremendous. When he started to quote those words, "Let there be light," I want you to think of the freshness and the vigor with which he quoted them. "These are my own words that I uttered 4,000 or 5,000 years ago." Every other Jewish child that has come across the sands of time, all they could do is try to capture the power in those words. Not the Christ child. His own words. And you know what? As those men start to hear this boy, their ears just perked up. And they start to gather around this child. And then they start to put the questions to him. You know what I read? They were just astonished at his understanding. You know what that word understanding means? Blending. Mixing. Pulling from this part of the Word of God, this part of the Word of God, just blending the truth. Never had they heard the light before. And I could see Mary and Joseph as they come in. And the reason I emphasize the tense is this. I think they stopped and they listened. And they just went. But you know what? Mary says, "Son, don't you realize we've been looking for you?" Can you almost capture almost a little bit of rebuke in her words? I want to tell you something. This 12-year-old boy was not out of place. He was in the right place at the right time. It was Mary that was out of place. The Christ child needed no rebuke. And you know what I get in the words of the Lord back to Mary? No attitude. You generally link that with a 12-year-old child. No attitude. No lip. "Wish she not that I must be about my Father's business?" What a gentle rebuke. Now I want you to get the next photograph with this I end. Look at verse number 50. Can't see again. 51. "And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them." Isn't that tremendous? I'm telling you. You know the picture I get? I see three backs heading down a road. Joseph, Mary, and the Christ child. Here he is doing the Father's business. Doing the Father's business here too, being subject unto them. Here's one that at 12 could fully teach what to do. Think of it. He subjected himself unto them. What's the very next verse you read? He increased. You know what the world will tell you? You submit, you'll lose ground. You know what this book teaches me? You submit, you'll gain ground. That's really what we're hearing. All through, funny, Murray and I in the plane coming up. The world puts so much pressure on us to conform. thin edge. You ever stop and wonder sometimes where Satan has the thin edge of the wedge in your life? You ever seen anybody chop down a tree with the axe turned backwards? And man, they're just wailing on that tree. And you come up to them and say, whoa, just a minute, you got to turn it around and get the edge in there. You know what Satan does sometimes to me? He just places the edge. And then he starts. You know what this book will do? It'll kick the wedge out of the tree. So, dear child of God, take time. I've been through experiences where I've been misunderstood and it hurt. I could lick my wounds, and you know what? I'd still be licking them today. I have been misaligned, misunderstood. You know what I did when that happened? I got alone with God's photographs. And I got my eyes on Christ. You know what it did for me? It helped me to see the person that did that to me. It helped me to see them in Christ. That's where my salvation... It's not me standing up in my energy going, all right, I'm going to muster up all kinds of love for you people. I tell you this. You just get occupied with Christ. You know what? Automatic. You'll just start loving them. Automatic. Take time to get to know God.